been down since I began to crawl. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Bad luck and trouble's my only friend. I've been down ever since I was 10.
Yeah, Born Under a Bad Sign. That's Cream, Ginger Baker on drums. Just throwing that out there because Ginger Baker passed away, I guess, yesterday. Nothing really sad about that. Ginger lived a long, outrageous life and hadn't really done much musically, I don't think, the last couple of years. But for those of you who maybe didn't follow Ginger Baker after Cream and are into music, I'll tell you what. Some of his solo stuff, some of his stuff with his trio, some of his stuff with the air show and all that. It's really great stuff. So I'm a pretty big Ginger Baker fan throughout his entire career. So rest in peace to Mr. Baker. Now, we went through a lot of stuff yesterday on the pod. You guys know really the big list. And I'm just going through now in terms of what I've sort of narrowed it down to, the plays I'm going to make. I feel pretty good about this week. So good that I put a bad luck song on the way into the DFS pod. That was a little silly. But we're not going to get all fearful of karma and things like that this week. We're going to do our work. We're going to play the games as they lie. And we're going to bet on real football things, not luck. So as I mentioned on the show this morning, for those of you who may have listened, the thing about, you know, the thing that just sticks out to me more than anything when you look at the NFL right now and the slate this week, is there's just so many games that are broken. You know, with backup quarterbacks, passing games we can't quite figure out, injuries that really make the game flow difficult to project. So, you know, what we really are doing is we're grasping for things that we can count on because we can't trust game. You know, it's predicting game flow is harder than it used to be because we're going to have so many one-sided games. And then some of the games that look close, like the Bills and Tennessee, how much do we really want to be involved in that, you know? Or, you know, Chicago, Oakland, you know, well, that actually probably won't be that close, but it'll be ugly. You know, then we look at Tampa and the Saints. That's one of the better games out there in some ways, but it's a divisional game. One interesting component with that divisional matchup, though, is since Arians is bringing in a whole new kind of thing there, it's a whole new offense, and it's the first meeting of the year, maybe we don't look at that as a traditional divisional matchup. You know, Vikings and Giants, gosh, I'm really, with the exception of Dalvin Cook and the Vikings defense, there's not much there that gets me excited. The Jets are the very definition of a dumpster fire with wings, I guess. Now, on the Philadelphia side of the Jet game, certainly Wentz, maybe some concern that they blow him out too fast and this thing goes to the ground. I feel like Wentz is going to get his before that, so I feel pretty good about Carson Wentz. Currently, he's my cash quarterback. We'll get into that in a second. And I think I'm probably going to stick with him for what it's worth. Ravens and Pittsburgh, obviously we got a damaged quarterback. Patriots, Redskins, we got a damaged team. Two backup quarterbacks going, Jacksonville, Carolina. Atlanta, Houston, we have a game that's cross-conference. That's good. Two functional offenses, that's good. The Vegas line goes almost to 50. That's good. So Atlanta, Houston, certainly we can pick out some things. The one thing with that game is there's not a lot of cash stuff I like in that game. Maybe Julio, I suppose. But I haven't really gotten into that game for cash. I think tournament games that are built around or tournament rosters that are built around that game make some sense. Certainly the Watson stack, maybe with Julio coming back on the other side. I have one of those. I may put together one or two more of those. And then there's only two 4 o'clock games. You know, Denver and, you know, the Chargers. That's not fun. And then, you know, the game of the week, I think, for most people, Cowboys, Green Bay. And we've got, you know, two pretty good defenses in that game. And we've got Green Bay playing differently offensively, which we don't like. They're going without Devontae Adams. Dallas is going to have Gallup back. But Green Bay's pretty good on the outside. And Gallup's going to be coming off of injury. We don't really know what he's got. So when we look at this game, really, it's the running backs I like. I think Zeke is well set up in this game. Maybe not to just go absolutely crazy, but to have a good, solid Zeke game. I think the way you attack Green Bay is on the ground. And then, you know, for Dallas, for Green Bay's running game, since Williams is out in the concussion protocol, and I don't think Dexter Williams is ready for prime time, you know, he's not ready to come in and play the Williams role. The Williams role is based on solidity. It's based on him being a glue guy, and Williams is really the opposite of that. He's more like Jones, but far less polished and totally unproven. So I think, you know, the odds on Aaron Jones getting 90% of the juice in this game, it's pretty damn good. So if I were looking to get involved late today, it would probably be in this Green Bay-Dallas game and probably be with the running backs. So that's like a quick slate walk. Now let's get into these positions. At quarterback, as I mentioned on the show with Jim today, in GPPs, my focus is, you know, as always, I tend to really grab a couple running quarterbacks each week that I like, and I focus on them in GPPs. Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray are probably going to be my focus. I'm going to be making most of my GPP lineups when I'm done with this pod. But I think those really are the three primary guys I'm going to be working from in terms of stacks and stuff like that. Lamar with Hollywood, I think, is pretty easy. Deshaun Watson, I'll probably have a couple different types of stacks I work with him. And then Kyler Murray, I am really going to be grinding on him. Obviously, Fitz is one. But the stack I really like with Murray is the David Johnson stack. And then, as I mentioned before, Wentz has been my cash quarterback most of the week. I think it's probably going to stay that way. That's really my tight QB focus right now. There's some other stuff I'm sort of messing around with that I mentioned earlier. Moving over to running backs, I have warmed up to McCaffrey just because he's McCaffrey. I like, and this is going to sound a little half-baked, but I know that Jalen Ramsey being out doesn't directly affect Christian McCaffrey, but what I think it does is it helps the quarterback a lot, and it helps Carolina move the football. The more they move the football, the more plays they get. The more plays they get, the more targets McCaffrey gets, the more running reps he gets, the more chances he has to score. So I just feel like I feel 10, 15% better on McCaffrey with Ramsey not in this game. And I needed that because he's just so expensive at 8,700. So in GPPs, I definitely want some McCaffrey. I'm not doing him in cash just because it's cost prohibitive. Like right now, my cash lineup is $100 over, so I have a problem. Like the lineup I love is $50,100, so I'm going to have to tweak somehow. That's my problem. But McCaffrey, obviously not in play. I'm having trouble keeping Cook in there at 84. So Cook's the next guy up. He's really my best running back this week in terms of total package. I want to use him in GPPs and cash. Zeke Elliott, as I mentioned earlier, I don't think I can get him into my cash lineup with Cook, but I would if I could. David Johnson in my cash lineup and GPPs. So he's really, Cook and Johnson are the two guys I really just can't get enough of this week. But definitely like Eckler at 6,700, interested in Fournette at 6,400, Joe Mixon I've been talking about all week at 6,100, and then Aaron Jones at 59, David Montgomery at 52. That's really my running back focus. I'm going to have a taste, I think, of all the guys I just mentioned at running back, but primarily the core guys I'm going to have in most of my lineups are going to be Cook and David Johnson. Let me see. Is there any? And then, you know, there's even more running backs that I think are worth considering. I think if you wanted to get funky with Jordan Howard or Miles Sanders in a GPP, it's risky, but there's a big potential payoff there if you want to take that risk. And then Jalen Samuels, if you wanted to use him as a cost saver who has sort of a game-specific ceiling. So you put Jalen Samuels in there as a guy who helps you build a really strong lineup around him. And then what you're hoping for in a GPP is that Connor doesn't finish the game, Samuels ends up getting 70% of the juice and having a really big day. So that it's sort of a thin way to approach it. I think it's worthwhile in a GPP if you can put the right lineup around him that you feel really good about. You know, where you're like, okay, well, even if Samuels comes in about as expected and gives me like 14 DraftKings points, I still like this. If you can come up with that lineup, I think that would make some sense because then you have scenarios where things could go really well and you like your floor. And now we get to tight ends, which is just, sort of a clusterfuck this week. I really don't like any of this. I just don't feel like Eifert has shown us enough to be a volume player yet. It's possible if they move the football really well, he could score a couple touchdowns and add some yardage. But he just hasn't shown me enough yet in terms of movement. He doesn't look like Tyler Eifert to me. He doesn't look like that guy, you know, from 4 years ago. I just can't quite go there. CJ Uzomah, nice price, nice situation, but it's so thin. Delanie Walker, not enough upside. Greg Olsen, not too bad. Greg Olsen, I could live with Greg Olsen. Jimmy Graham, we talked about it on the show today. You have to give him some notice, but man, how do you get excited about Jimmy Graham at 4,300 units? You know, and then I think Hooper at 4,500 is probably one of the ones I feel good about, but I sort of feel like it's a Julio game. Mark Andrews, pretty solid matchup, but that foot has affected his play and his playing time to some degree, so we don't feel as excited about him. He's an after-the-catch guy, and if his movement's affected, that takes something away from his ceiling. Waller is a good bet for floor, but he hasn't scored yet, and he's going up against a really tough defense that knows he's the guy they need to stop. Because Tyrell Williams is not looking good to play. Evan Ingram's got the Vikings. So these are the guys I like that I just went through. Now, the one guy I didn't mention is the guy I've got in a lot of lineups. And this is where doing this show can become a little bit problematic because I don't feel comfortable enough with what I'm doing to recommend it to you guys. So it's up to you to figure out what you want to do. The tight end I'm probably heaviest on right now is Noah Fant. And basically, it's a cost-saving measure. He's 2,800 units. He's below the typical tight end floor. He's getting near that actual 2,500 unit floor. So he's a huge cost saver. He's cheaper than the defenses I'm looking at. So essentially what I've done here is to get the Patriots and their floor into my lineup, I'm dealing with Noah Fant's low floor. So it's up to you on whether you want to sort of follow me into that area. The thing about Fant that I do like is that he's very athletic. He's a really, you know, exciting player when he gets the ball in his hands, and he can stretch the field. So if this game becomes a situation, and it definitely could, where the Chargers get out in front, you know, they could start throwing the ball a lot. And in that scenario, Fant's been getting a solid four targets a game, turning into two or three catches. So I feel pretty good about him paying off here. But the thing is, in GPPs, we need more than payoff. Like, he at 2,800, he pays off at, like, 8 points, right? But there is a chance here that Fant could pick up his floor, but then in the second half, maybe make the big play and pay off for you. So I'm basically using Fant as a way to just jam the price down at tight end because I don't like the ceiling available to me. You know, you've got Kittle and Kelsey both off the slate. So I'm just paying the thing down. Normally, I like to have a guy at tight end I feel really good about the ceiling. I'm going with a floor cost-saving play here. And I don't want to oversell this, but I do think there is some ceiling to Fant. We have four outcomes. He did score. He has scored a touchdown. It was an interesting play, too, because they schemed the ball to him on that play. So I feel okay about this. I just, you know, I don't want you guys to go, oh, I'm going to do what Pete's doing with the idea that this guy, like, that I think he's going to go off. I think there's like a 20% possibility that he could go off. I think more likely we're looking at, you know, like 6 to 12 points or something like that. But that's what I'm choosing to do. And right now I've got him in there in cash, believe it or not. Moving on to the receivers, which is a little bit more fun. Lots of fun plays at receiver if we can find the money in GPPs. I think Hopkins, Julio. I think probably what I'm going to end up doing is, like I mentioned earlier, is doing a Watson stack where I try to get Julio and Hopkins in there. Maybe mess around with Will Fuller as well. But now moving into some of the safer plays at receiver, I like Evans and GPPs as an upside play. I think Godwin is cash viable, but I'm having trouble with the price. I found myself going down to Mike Thomas and that, you know, obviously the Saints aren't going to throw as much, but Thomas should have a similar target range to the guys from Tampa. What we don't feel good about with Thomas is his touchdown ability with Bridgewater. But I do think on some level, since I think Peyton should be able to help this offense move against this defense, I think we should have some red zone for the Saints this week. And I think that gives Thomas a chance at a score. And how often are we going to get Michael Thomas at 6,600 units? So he's a guy I want to get in some lineups this week. Same thing with Tyler Boyd at 6,500. The targets are just going to be there. I don't know how much I got into Josh Gordon specifically on the show today, but I really like Josh Gordon today. Now, obviously, you can get punked because this game could be over too soon. They hit a touchdown, to the wrong receiver. They score one on the ground. They get a defensive or a special teamer. The next thing you know, they're putting the passing game away on you. That risk is there. But there aren't many games. There aren't many teams expected to score more points than the Patriots. I don't think there's any on the main slate. So, going by the Vegas numbers. So, you know, on a week like this, I'm willing to take that chance to get Gordon in. The matchup is so sweet. It would make some sense that they would want to get him going a little bit to establish some mojo. So I definitely think Gordon in a GPP is something I'm okay with. Still like Fitz, still like Alshon. Really warming up to Hollywood Brown as a tournament play in conjunction, in a stack with Lamar. Let's look for some value plays at receivers here, some guys that I like. You know, I'm a little bit worried that Sutton ends up with Hayward on him all day, but I'm still going to take some shots at 4,900 units with him. I talked about Dorsett in the article. I think he's worth a shot in a GPP. And here's one that I think I mentioned yesterday, but Nelson Agholor. Now, this takes guts. I don't know that I'm personally going to do this, but at 4,700... he's got a good matchup against the Jets. The idea that Agholor could just light the Jets up, like just light them up, it's really not out of the realm, and he's cheap. So if you wanted to stack Wentz with Agholor in a GPP, it's not that expensive to do. You'd be able to fit a really good lineup around it. It's just an interesting play. I don't think I have enough money lying around to throw that one out there. Going down to Cole Beasley, I like Beasley at 4,600 units as sort of a floor play with some upside to it. We mentioned Fuller at 4,500 units. Obviously, he's been a letdown, but we've seen so many near misses that I think he's in play. Deontay Johnson in GPPs, I think, is in play. I'll probably have a little bit of him. And then we get down to the super cost savers. I think Kumerow for the bold is interesting in GPPs. Jake Kumerow, 3,800 units. If you didn't want to try that Agholor thing, an even thinner play with probably as much upside, but again, it's thinner, is Mac Hollins at 3,700 units. And then I think the best floor play, one of the ones that's going to be really popular this week because the game's going to be fast-paced and he's so cheap and we know he's going to start, probably play every snap, is Auden Tate at 3,500 units. He's in my cash lineup as we speak. So that's sort of where I'm at right now. Going through my cash lineup, I'll just give you guys a couple of names right now. Again, I can't really give out my full lineup. That's sort of a no-no. But right now, Dalvin Cook, David Johnson, Auden Tate, and Noah Fant are sort of core parts to it. Carson Wentz, quarterback. So, dig in, put those lineups together. As I said, it's a weird week. It's harder to isolate on games. Obviously, if you have some games that you like, build around them. The games that I'm looking to build around, just again to wrap up, are Arizona at Cincinnati and Atlanta, Houston. And then on some level, Green Bay, Dallas, probably the running backs more than anything in that game. Those are the games I'm sort of looking at as games. But mostly it's plays, some stacks here and there. But again, the correlation plays against the stacks are tough to find this week. Like you don't want to throw a correlation play if you're running a Patriots stack. The one place where I like it, as I mentioned, is sort of Houston throwing Julio against a Texan stack. Okay, so do we want to hit anything else? I am sort of all in on finding a way to get the Patriot defense in there this week. I just think they're so strong. Obviously, I think the Eagles defense makes sense as well. The Bears defense is also strong. I went over most of that yesterday. So that's going to pretty much do it for the pod. Nice little 20-minute pod. plus a little music, nothing crazy. If you guys have any tough lineup questions, anything like that, I will be on Twitter for the rest of the morning. I'll be sort of off and on, but I will be around. I should be able to get to pretty much anything you ask me before lineup lock. So, you know, feel free to throw that out there. But that's going to do it for week 5 and me. We'll be back on Tuesday with the Waiver Wire and the Waiver Wire podcast. And then we're going to do it all over again for week 6. So thanks as always for listening to the Rotobomb Pod. Good luck with all your lineups. And bring home some bucks.